Our gospel reading is chapter 15 of John's gospel, and this passage is very, very familiar. But if you look at the pieces of it, I think it offers us a good parallel between mothers, a mother's love and God's love. So this begins verse 12. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what his master is about. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may always love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. I referred earlier to the little story on the front part of the bulletin underneath, Always a Mother. If you read it, that is a good illustration of what they call today a helicopter mother, who hovers over her child. In this case, even though he's going off after 3 years in the Marines, she wants to make sure he is well taken care of. Helicopter moms are, I think, becoming more and more a possibility, especially with the technology we have. There was reported that one woman was in her preschool, daughter's preschool class, was able to go on her computer, and she could access by a camera through the computer. She could see the whole classroom, and she was very proud of the fact that there was one little girl sitting off on the sidelines when everybody else was over on this side, and her little one went over and talked to this girl and grabbed her and brought her over to the group, and the mother was very, very, very proud, which rightly so. Mothers do that, and you find it gives us a great sense of well-being when they recognize those kind of things in us. And so it's very good for her. However, the danger, you can understand, is very great because it can go on for too long, as we saw in that little story. Sometimes I think we look at God in the same way. You know, we fashion God really after our parents when we're little guys, because our parents are the closest thing that we know to God, other than if you grew up in the tradition I grew up in. My parents were nowhere near close to God because we had the priest who was, and you were sure of that. But they were the God's authority. They spoke on God's behalf. And so if you wanted to know what God wanted, you would ask your parents. And that relationship is kind of a healthy thing. One of the problems with that is that, you know, we tend to, if we have parents who are like helicopter moms, we tend to make a God out of the same kind of fabric. So God for us is somebody always watching us and making sure that we're doing the right thing, and beats us up if we, you know, punishes us if we make some kind of mistake. And God is always kind of pulling us in and kind of manipulating us in our lives, and we have no control over anything. That's really not the image that Jesus gave us about God. Some of us grew up with that kind of a thing, but that's really not who God is. This passage, I think, offers us a different version. And I was reading in one of the journals, this rabbi out in San Francisco created and talking about helicopter moms. He talked about, instead of talking about God as a helicopter person kind of watching over and manipulating our lives, perhaps we should think of God as somebody holding on to a helium balloon, where the child is the helium balloon, and you know, you are tethered to God, but you are free to float and do whatever you need to do and be out there. And so he talks about a helium God. And with that image in mind, I looked at this passage and I thought, there's a couple of things here that I think I found kind of nice. You know, in the first part of this gospel story, there's something about God's love that's very, very specific. I say specific because if you take those words, you did not choose me, I chose you. God is saying, remember that I'm the one that called you. And you are special and loved because I called you to that. And the gifts I have are for you. They're not to be taken away from you. They are not something you should be deprived of. They are for you. You've been chosen. And God says that to all of us. You are chosen. Remember what it was like when your mother, I don't know if you had siblings, I had three older sisters, but when your mother would be making something and she'd call you over to help her. You know, like I used to have, my job was always to lick the spoon after she made a cake. I got that job. And the beaters when she made whipped cream. That was always my job. My sisters didn't like it anyway, so that was good. But I always felt really good because my mother recognized me for doing something, you know? That's a good feeling. That really is a good thing. And I think that's what God is saying here about I chose you. It's the same kind of validation that you are very, very important because of who God created you to be. And again, unfortunately, we lose sight of that lots of times because we're too busy becoming what everybody wants us to be. But if we get down to the place where we really are the person God created us to be, you can't get any better than that. You'll never know a better peace than that. So I chose you. The other thing about this gospel passage is God's love seems to have some kind of a mission for us. There's kind of a job you have to do. You will bear fruit. Your job is to go out and bear fruit and fruit that will last forever. Now, from God's perspective and the way we look at it religiously, we look at our lives and say, well, we've been graced and we've been gifted. And so part of our job is to go out and share those things to better the world, to somehow make things different in the world. The same thing is true, you know, when your mother is trying to do something very, very special and she asked you, would you please kind of do this? This is a real task that I can't do, something you can do. We had this big old table that was my grandmother's, I think, and it had all these little spokes underneath it, the little spindles. And it was pretty low and it was hard for anybody to get under there, but to know that I was able to go under there and dust those little things every week was really very special to me because nobody else could get under there. The space was too small. And the spindles were so tiny, you couldn't put a rag through them. I mean, it was really a real difficult thing, but I had little fingers, and so they worked very, very well until I left for high school. Then somebody else had to do it. But God's doing the same thing. The things we have been given, the little specialties that we have, are gifts that we are to share with the world around us. And the next part about that is, didn't your mother ever say, be nice? Did you ever hear your mom say, you know, just be nice to your brother. Stop beating up your sister. Jesus, God says, if you have a godly love, really, the only thing you can do with that is to love one another. It's not something that you keep. Being loved is something that we can hold on to and cling to and be so desperately obsessed with that we forget there's a whole world outside of us. We can isolate ourselves. Jesus is saying here, God's love is given to you, but you have a command, and you should have the desire to share that with everybody. And loving one another is the bottom line of any kind of gift of love that we can think about. The other thing here, Jesus says, the greatest love is for one to lay down his life and sacrifice for another. And obviously, you know, the gospel is talking about God giving up his son. And in the sacrifice, you know, redeeming the world and bringing us to the resurrection and eternal life. And theologically, that's very, very good. Nobody has any question about that. God gives Jesus. But isn't it amazing how godly for a mother to be able to let go of her son, her daughter, and allow them the freedom to become the people that they need to become? It takes love to do that. And that's a love that's got a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. I know my sister told me that my mother cried for 2 weeks when I went away to the seminary. I had a hard time believing that, but she said she did. And I've seen parents, you know, who say goodbye to their kids getting on the bus for the first time. You know, the kids are going off and laughing and having a wonderful time. The parents are standing on the side of the bus crying. there's a pain in letting go of that. And then when they graduate from college and go off and get jobs in other places, and they move away and they have relationships and they go through some of the angst that we ourselves have gone through, and you want to save them from all that stuff, but you can't. They have to go through those things by themselves. Love is able to stand there and let that be, because how important it is for that person, that individual, to become his own person, to become herself, and to find the way that he or she is going to live her life. And in today's world, there are so many variations on what it means to be a person that you can go in so many different directions, and it's a real challenge and a real fear for parents. I've listened to a number of parents whose children have gone through some really difficult challenges, and it's very hard. A lot of people cry, and a lot of people stay awake nights. And it's not because they're afraid so much, it's because they're aching in a love that just wants to have their kids be happy and be safe and not have to go through some of the garbage that they're going to have to face. That's love. That's what God did for us. And Jesus spared us a lot of things so that we don't have to ourselves die to win eternal life. It's already here. It's already ours. And so I look at mothers today and honoring mothers. I can't help but think that maybe a good sign or a good symbol, I guess, for Mother's Day should be a helium balloon, and for Father's Day too. You hold on. You never let go, even when they're bad, even when they do the wrong thing. You never, ever, ever stop loving, and that's one of the things the gospel says. Your love, your mind, I chose you, it's forever. And you may mess up, but you are still loved. God's holding the string. But we have the freedom to do whatever we need to do and want to do and choose. But we never, ever, ever lose God's love. Paul said it very, very nicely in Romans. I've said it repeatedly all my life, probably to convince myself again. There's nothing in this earth, nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. That's because of this. And that's why mothers are so important, because if there's one gift they give us, it's that no matter how far we go and how strange we become and how difficult it may be, they still love us. It never stops. So congratulations and blessings on all the mothers, all who have mothered, and all of us who have been privileged to know those experiences. We pray that it would be true for all children, especially when you look at these things. All children. God bless. Amen. It was a wise move, Lord, that you chose to become one of us through the birth of a woman, to be a child, to experience our humanity, to understand firsthand the challenges, the changes, the dynamics of growing up as a human person in whatever society, in whatever culture. You chose to be an adolescent, to encourage all those who are adolescents to know that the story is never finished yet and there's a long way to go. You chose to live as a young adult and into the adult world, finding your own way, becoming your own person and having your own conviction, your own experience, and to dare to speak from those convictions and those experiences, even though they were not popular, they were countercultural, they were also against the established religion. And because of that courage and your truth, so well voiced and lived, you died our human death And dying that death, you transformed all of death because you divinized even the darkest parts of our human experience. You brought light into that darkness and revealed to us that we are people of eternal life, of eternal love, and of eternal promise. On this day, we know that you, in the experience of your mother and father in this earth, can delight in the experience, and so do we. For all the variations and all the trials, for all the challenges and all the changes, for all the ups and downs of those home relationships, we still are very blessed people. We still have our differences. We still have different opinions. We may still live a little bit different from one another, but we are family. And we thank our parents for making that happen. We thank you for the grace that has touched each one of us, where we have all found our way from our infancy into where we are as adults in this world. We thank you for all the blessings, the grace, and the invitations and opportunities that you placed before us, where we could choose our way. And in saying yes, we were able to find once again that you are still with us. We thank you for the people you've put into our lives, those who are our educators and mentors, those who taught us values, and those who supported us in our questioning and how to live the questions until we find answers, to those who were very wise. We give you thanks and ask blessings upon them. And to the memories of that we carry all of our lives, of those people whom we will never see again, but who walked into our lives and left their footprints on our hearts, who spoke words, who gave us gifts, who through action assured us of our being lovable, being a person of dignity, being someone who could celebrate his very presence by just being who he or she is. There is no greater gift. And as we delight in these memories, we ask blessings upon all those who have littered our life and our journey with so many good things. And for the mothers around this earth, those who are becoming mothers, those who hope to be mothers, those who already are, visit them with the love of your own mother and grace them that they may be the very best, not only for themselves, but for their children and all those whose lives they touch. And for those mothers who feel barren, who are never going to be mothers, or those whose mothers, whose children are suffering, for whom they cannot provide even the meagerest way of sustaining their lives, and those mothers who live in despair, we ask that you grace them this day with the blessing of helping hands from others who can bring them perhaps a bit of joy, a ray of hope, and a little bit of encouragement and support that they would continue to strive to be their very best selves. Breathe your spirit into our world and make us all more grateful for all that we have, all that you have provided, and all that we together have created. Bless all of us as we raise our voices with everyone in the world and together cry out to you from this place and with all of creation and call you God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.